You're listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Dan Bloomberg was a journalist in Chicago. And one day he arrived at work with his whole face incredibly swollen. His ears were like cauliflowers. His eyes were almost swollen shut. His cheeks were enormous. Just his face was red. He walked in, and his coworkers like, "What happened to you?" And it turns out he had eaten some crab. And his coworker said, "Oh my gosh, you are allergic. We have to get you to the emergency room right now. Let's go." And Dad said, no, it's okay. This happens kind of regularly because I love crab. Lobster, all of it. But it only happens about one out of every three times, so it's a calculated risk. His coworker was stunned at his love for crustaceans. But this time the swelling was so bad that even Dan realized, you know, maybe this is getting a little out of hand. This allergy appears to be getting worse. It was kind of a wake-up call, so Dan decided to make some changes. Did he give up the crab cakes? Did he stop the lobster rolls? No. He was going to keep eating the stuff, but now he would have Benadryl as an aperitif, he said. And he would have his inhaler on hand in case it spread to his lungs, and just in case there would be an EpiPen nearby. Do you ever want something that you know is bad for you? A food? A drink? Another drink? A hobby that you can't afford and don't really have time for, but you just keep getting those My Little Ponies, Garrett. How strong is your willpower? You know, your decision-making apparatus when there's something that you know you shouldn't have, and yet. And even if you resist it, your brain keeps thinking about it. Last night after dinner, I had a reasonable amount of ice cream, and then we sat down, we watched a movie, and the whole time my brain was just thinking about that ice cream. And then later that evening, when all my family were nowhere to be seen, there I was in the kitchen with spoon in hand, the tub in front of me, and our son walked in and saw what was happening and said, "That's real," and he walked out. I don't know if you've ever tried to get yourself to not want something you really want, and it's impossible to turn off. I feel like this happens every time I'm watching a streaming show. It didn't used to be this way, but some evil psychologist has told them how the brain works. And so at the end of the episode of whatever you're watching, it always ends on some cliffhanger, and then that little thing pops up and says, "Next episode starting in 15 seconds. I'm like, I don't have time to think about all the implications. I need more time to wait these options because, you know, yes, I want to know what happens, but also I know if I do find out and watch the episode, tomorrow will be awful. I won't get enough sleep. I know this, and yet I'm like Carrie Fisher's character and When Harry Met Sally, when her friends keep telling her to get out of the bad relationship, and she's like, you're right, I know you're right, and she never does. In Luke chapter 3, we meet John the Baptizer on the banks of the Jordan River baptizing folks. This is in the first century in Israel, this Roman territory in those days, 2,000 years ago. John was a country preacher, sort of a cowboy church situation. And all these people were coming from the city out to find out what he was doing. And he was offering this baptism for repentance. And he was having sort of a wilderness retreat for people that wanted to turn over a new leaf and start over. And it's so popular, there's a waiting list, and these people that are coming, suddenly there's some folks that are not the typical country retreat kind of people. These are fancy leaders from the city, people that are maybe, at least the rumors are, pretty corrupt folks, rich, powerful, your basic nightmare. And they show up, and John says, "You're a bunch of snakes. You're a snake. Is anybody? Anybody? Okay. I knew there's some people that get that. We'll move on. So, he says, you're a snake. And you're not here for the right reasons. You think your wealth and power is a big deal. You think you're a big deal. You think your identity and your ancestry is a big deal. None of it matters. God sees your heart. He knows what's going on. He knows you for real. He knows the score. Get out of here. And they say, well, if this religious experience is not going to be enough for us, what should we do? What do we do, John? And he gives these answers. And maybe they were expecting, you know, come to the VIP retreat or come to the extra hard retreat. Come to the sweat lodge and have an experience or sign up for this really austere fasting regimen or something like that. And the things he tells them don't sound spiritual at all. They're super obvious. He's like, you're stealing. Stop. You're lying. Cut it out. You are committing extortion. Stop committing extortion. You're greedy. You have too much stuff. There are people who don't have enough stuff. Give some of your too much stuff to the people who don't have stuff so that there will be enough stuff for everybody. It is not spiritual rocket science. The passage doesn't say what they do. I have a hunch that they don't do much. And what is interesting about this conversation, I think, is it shows this thing about human beings. We want to get better. We already know what we need to do to get better. These answers are not hard. They're obvious. They're sort of staring us in the face. Now, we may choose not to see them or be in denial about them, but it's not like it's a surprise. Like, oh, I didn't know I was stealing. Oh, I didn't know I was committing extortion. They knew. And I think one of the things this story shows is that despite what preachers may do week after week, is that our chief need is not for people to give us more information to tell us what to do. Dan Bloomberg knew he was allergic to shellfish. Being told that didn't help. London Beat in 1991 had this great song, Been Thinking About You. I've been thinking about you. It's not, I was thinking about you, but now I'm over and I don't think about you anymore. Like, it's like this repetitive rumination. You can't get it out of your head. You can't stop it. We don't need someone to point out the obvious stuff we already know. I can't stand up here and tell you not to sabotage your relationships out of your own insecurity. And you'd be like, oh, I didn't know I was doing that. Thank you so much. If we knew, if we could change when someone gives us good advice, the New Testament would be very short. It would end with John. Luke chapter 3 would be the last chapter. He would say, stop doing the bad stuff. They would say, oh, you're right. And then it's over, the end. Thank you, John. But they come to John and they ask, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? And the New Testament does not end with John because he said there's someone more powerful than I. I just baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John is not enough. Advice is not sufficient. Information doesn't change you. There needs to be something else. This baptism with fire, what is that? And the Holy Spirit, also, what is that? The baptism by fire. This is biblical theological language for how people are transformed. The way people are transformed is when the heat is turned up, as Glenn Frey, the ex-Eagle, sang on the soundtrack of Beverly Hills Cop. The heat is on in your life, and when the heat is turned up, that's when change, or at least the possibility of it, begins to happen. The way many people say this is when the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. When the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of change. So there's a hard conversation you need to have, but it will be painful, and you avoid having that conversation until the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. I had a friend who was going through a really, really difficult relationship. It was a relationship he knew he should not be in. And it was that kind of thing where he kept going back, sort of the, I can't see you anymore. How are you doing? It really has to end. What are you up to? You know, that kind of back and forth. And as he was in this relationship, the anxiety began to grow and grow and grow because of the pressure, the heat that he knew he needed to get out of it, but he couldn't get out of it. And I said, well, what else? Because he wasn't in this relationship anymore. I said, what changed? And he said, the anxiety got so great. It got so great. It wasn't like a spiritual decision of the Lord calls me, I know what's right. He already knew what was right. He already knew what the Lord said. But the pain of staying the same became greater than the pain of changing, and he actually ended the relationship. The baptism of fire is how that works. The heat is on and the heat gets turned up, not because God delights in suffering or anything like that, or God is some cruel, malicious deity. A lot of times this is just the natural consequences sort of working themselves out. Baptism by fire. And not just that, but we also then have this baptism of the Holy Spirit, which again is theological language for God beginning to do the work on the inside. God beginning to re-engineer, to break up and rebuild what's in there. This does not happen overnight. It is not an easy or fun process, but it is how I have seen God work in people's lives time and again. They become people who, through whatever baptism by fire experience has happened, they come out, they emerge on the other side, transformed. The things that used to lure them somehow don't have that attraction anymore. It's not from self-effort or exertion or willpower. It's because God has baptized them with fire and with the Holy Spirit. This looks different from everyone, and this is where you want me to give you the three-step solution. And if you'd like to, for just $9.95 installments for 12 months with an annual discount, $50 for the whole year, you can subscribe right now. There'll be a meeting in the kitchen right after church. No, I mean, this is where you want the change, right? But what I've seen time and again, it is only when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change, and the work begins to happen inside. And the thing that you can know, if you are on that precipice, on the edge, on the starting line, as it were, of that journey, it's a scary place. But what you can know is that Christ is with you. And the reason I know that is because He takes the heat. He is the one who goes to the cross, that place for all the suffering of the world is poured out on Him. Which He willingly receives because of His great love. You have done this. You have taken you've taken heat for someone you love, probably. And Christ loves all, and He takes the heat for all. So if you're on this baptism by fire journey, know that Christ goes before you in it and through it, and is with you in it and through it. And just as He emerges on the other side, even when it looked like all hope was lost, the tomb was empty on Easter Sunday, and there is eternal life on the other side of very difficult experiences. So, if you're as frustrated by this as I am, I hear you, because I wish it were easier. I wish there were a quick fix. But this does seem to be the way that God works. The New Testament does not end with John the Baptizer. It continues with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the one who gives Himself for us and who accompanies us on this journey. And as hard as it may be for you and for me, there is always mercy and grace. And no matter what we're going through, we know that Christ is in it with us and be walking with us as we emerge on the other side, in this life or the next. Let us pray. Almighty God, help us to know Your presence with us in the fire and to know eternal life on the other side. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon Podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.